you guys. Oh, you forgot to turn the volume off again.
Volume off this
damn
one.
It, why do you always do that?
This shit happens. So we're going to get this one rolling. I'm just in from the biker bar, man. I was over there fucking a couple of drinks into it already. I had to ride all the way back. It's only just up the street anyway.
Yeah, and so after this, he's probably I'm like, go back. He's going to go back.
Yeah,
back
the guys said, where are you going? Where are you going? I said, oh, I got to do a show, you know. All the bikes are out, so, you know. Gotta do motorcycle stuff.
That's what I mean. We don't have to talk about
socialize and shit. But it's just fucking funny today. But yeah, Heavy Metal 2000. We got DJ Maniac in the comment section already talking about how terrible this was. He's a big heavy metal fan. He sent me some heavy metal magazines. He and I both grew up with the magazines and the first movie. Yeah, this movie is not as classic as the first Heavy Metal. But it's not bad. It's not terrible. It's okay.
It was all right.
It's entertaining. It had CG in it certain times, and you can tell the animation is modern animation. It's not the old school hand-drawn frame by frame. It's not that.
Because that was like the original one had a lot of rotoscoping in it. This one was just kind of like, a lot of this was hand-drawn, but a lot of the spaceships and stuff like that were CGI.
Yeah.
And I feel like some of this stuff, like at the end, like when Odin turned into that lizard creature thing, that was CGI. And that
didn't look too good.
Yeah.
But, you know, the story wasn't bad, and it starred Billy Idol. He did the voice acting for Odin, who's the one of the main characters in the movie, and I thought he was great in it. He sounded great.
He has such a great voice.
Yeah,
we got all into Tom's like, Billy Idol made a Christmas album.
Yeah, and I bought a Christmas album.
he bought Billy Idol's Christmas album.
It'll be here tomorrow.
It's good. It's fun.
It's real good. Yeah,
I like it.
He's only got four. It's up on Billy Idol on his channel on YouTube. He's only got four songs up for free. The rest of them, you know, you have to buy the CD to get them, and it's $12. So I got it. His new single. What's it called? What's the name of the one where his Bitter Taste?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's his new song. If you like Chris Isaac and you like Billy Idol, it's a good song. Yeah, it's good. I thought it might be a death song. He's not looking top-notch like he was about a year ago. And I didn't know if he's trying to pull a David Bowie and come out with a damn tribute his own life, you know, like a death album the way Bowie did. I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's got cancer or what, but he's not. He doesn't look as good as he did only a year ago. So we'll see. We'll see. But could be he just off cycle. But why'd he come off cycle? Because he was looking fucking pretty fucking buff, man, just a year ago. But we'll see. Anyway, back to this movie. I didn't mind it. I enjoyed it. We were drinking and fucking entertained by it. It's not perfect, but it's good.
It's kind of like, I think the thing about it, I think the reason that that people remember the first Heavy Metal movie so fondly, one, it was an anthology, which I think a lot of people like, so there was kind of like a variety of stories.
Big difference, yeah.
And also, I mean, in 1981, the concept of heavy metal, of being like an R-rated cartoon, was pretty rare. You didn't really see that. I kind of feel like in the subsequent years, now it's just kind of like...
There's lots of them. Right.
So it's really, really hard to stand out. So Heavy Metal 2000, you could argue that it's like, you know, that time has passed because it's like now, you know, there's been tons and tons of R-rated cartoons with, like, you know, big tits and gore and stuff like that. So it's not unique anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I kind of feel like maybe its cultural moment has passed.
Maybe.
But, well, the thing about it, it's weird because we just ended up watching this at random because I just noticed that they had it on Amazon Prime and I was just kind of like, oh, whatever, let's just watch that. And I had forgotten, I remember being kind of excited to see it when it came out back in 2000 just because Bauhaus had a song on the soundtrack.
Yeah.
One of their newer. Now it's like 20 years old.
20 years old.
But it was from Go Away White.
Yeah, it's good too.
Dogs of Vapor. Yeah.
Good song.
So, and there was a Billy Idol song in it. There was like some other good. There was like some Voivod was in there and Cold Chamber and like some other stuff. So the music's actually pretty good in it. But I don't think I ever got around to seeing it. I think the best thing about this is, one, Michael Ironside, who does the voice of, like, the main villain, whose name is Tyler.
Yeah, Tyler, the villain. Why do you call the dude Tyler?
I mean, well, he was just a regular dude at the beginning, but it's just when he found, you know, the green MacGuffin thing, which this movie's Lochnar, it just made him into, like, a murderous. Yeah. But he's have, I called him Murder Danzig.
Yeah, he's kind of like that, too.
Because, well, that's what he looked like when he went all, like, buffed out and got fangs and stuff, and he had, like, the hair, and I was just like, oh, it turned him into Murder Danzig. So I called him that instead, because that's, like, way more badass than Tyler. And also, the main female character, Julie, that was actually based on Julie Strain, who, she was, like, a penthouse pet, and she's been in, like, she was in over 100 like B movies. She was in like a lot of movies. And so she was married to Kevin Eastman, who owned the Heavy Metal magazine at the time. He was also the co-creator of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, by the way. So he modeled the character after her, and she also does the voice. And when I was researching this movie, I found out that she'd actually died earlier this year. She was only in her 50s. And what ended up happening, I think, like, she fell off a horse when she was in her 20s, and it kind of, like, wiped most of her memory out of her childhood. And then when she started getting into her 50s, she started getting, like, dementia early because of the head injury.
Because of the head injury,
And she did actually end up dying of it, like, earlier this year. I think it was January of this year she passed away, and she was only in her 50s. So I thought that was, like, pretty sad. But, so, again, this isn't an anthology. It's just one story. It's based on a graphic novel called The Melting Pot. And it's kind of, the story of it is pretty similar to what, like, the last segment of the first Heavy Metal movie. I kind of feel like it was kind of similar.
Yeah, what would they call that woman?
Was it Tarna or something like that?
She was a special kind of warrior that would come about every now and then. And it was a similar outfit. I thought she might have been supposed to, maybe she was supposed to be one of those. I forgot what they were called. They had a special name for them. The Tarakian. Wasn't she a Tarakian?
Oh, gosh, I can't even remember
now. I think
that's
what it was.
But yeah, so basically what the story of this is that... So there's some kind of, like, race who are, like, bad guys, right? They're called, like, Arakatians or something. And they had, there's this kind of fluid that causes immortality and is also restorative. Like, if you drink it, like, it heals all your wounds and also can bring you back from the dead so you can, like, live forever. So they had it locked up in this place or something. And then there was, like, a key that would open it. But then they threw the key out into space, like, so no one could get it. And it's not really a key. It kind of looked more like a... It kind of looked like that green thing that Superman stuck into the thing in his Fortress of Solitude. It kind of looked like that. Like a green crystal is what it looked like. And so Tyler, voiced by Michael Ironside, finds this. Because he's like a construction worker or something, I think. And he accidentally finds it. And also I forgot to mention that it also drives people insane.
Yeah.
Like turns them into Murder Danzig people. and it happens, apparently it happens immediately, because as soon as he finds it, he's like, ooh, mine. And then he's like, just wipes out the rest of his crew. And so he's trying to, isn't there a thing where he wipes out this whole planet, apparently just to be a dick, but then he finds out that planet, that there was some kind of, like, they do a DNA scan or something, and then they had, like, some kind of that immortality fluid, like, in their bodies. So he thinks that maybe that's... Isn't that how the story was going?
I think it did.
It was something like that.
You're right. There was a lot of little MacGuffin-y type stuff in it. I was just entertained by what was happening more than anything else. I think it's pretty much people have kind of come to a conclusion. Well, DJ Maniac confirms that first girl was a Tarakian. And I think maybe this second girl might be one, too. She might be a Tarakian also. I'm not sure, which is a place where they came from. But most people are kind of agreeing that had it been an anthology, it probably would have been better.
I think people were really bummed out that it wasn't.
Yeah, because that fits more of what a Heavy Metal magazine was.
Yeah.
It's kind of like an anthology. And in the first Heavy Metal, it was an anthology of a bunch of different stories that were woven together. There's a common thread, was the Lochnar was going through these things. It's like a damn thing of evil, this green ball that could do all that, had all this evil magical powers, which that was a good way of making like a wraparound and something to fucking weave them all together. Had they gone that way with this, it probably would have been better.
They could have even done because I mean the immortality crystal thing or key or whatever it is essentially like the Lochnar.
Yeah.
So they could have had that and then like had the key or you know the immortality juice or whatever like traveling from person to person and then having however many stories.
Pretty much it's the same sentiment I feel is being reflected in the comment section that Billy Idol was awesome and he should do more voice acting.
He absolutely should.
He's real good. Yeah, his voice is really good. And he can do a damn animated character, you know, with all the damn fucking, all the inflection and over-enunciation and the little voices that he could do. He was fucking good, real good. He gave it his all.
Yeah, he was a cool character. Yeah. Honestly, I kind of wish he'd been in it more.
Yeah.
He was in it quite a bit, but he is one of the main characters. But then he had that little, he was kind of, some kind of like wizard or druid or something. And then he had that little buddy. That was, what was that little dude's
name?
Rock
robot.
Zeke.
Was.
Yeah, he was like a little rock person with like a little bunch of eyes. He was pretty
cute.
Rock person. And he kept calling all the girls soft one.
Yeah.
that just made me laugh. I was like, yeah, they're soft, all right. Walk, walk.
Yeah, yeah.
So, lots of boobies in this.
Yeah.
Well, because Julie Strain's character, whose name is Julie in the movie, she has a sister, because that's kind of, because doesn't Murder Danzig kidnap her sister Carrie and is going to keep her as a sex slave essentially.
Yeah.
So then Julie has to kind of, you know, put on her ass kicking outfit, you know, this kind of red straps and big boots and whatnot, and she has to go and save the sister from a life of sex slavery.
Yeah.
With Murder Danzig.
Yeah. She also had to kiss some dude to go across the River Styx, basically.
Oh, I forgot about that scene.
Yeah, that was a good scene. That one actually reflected the tone of a heavy metal cartoon, or a heavy metal comic book quite a bit, the old school ones. That kind of shit would happen in there. A bunch of fucking sexual abuse, but then, like, vengeance for it and things like that. It's pretty, you know, the original comic books were pretty fucking out there.
Yeah, it seemed like, now that you bring that up, that might have been, like, one of the only funny things that happened in it. Because I kind of feel like the original heavy metal had a lot more humor.
Yeah.
This one didn't really have a lot of humor in it. I mean, other than that scene where that gross whatever it was like sitting by the river and was like, yeah, you have to kiss me.
And he starts tongue kissing this fucking beautiful woman. He's a fucking nasty monster. And then it turns out she only did it because she thought that's how she could get the damn fairy to come across. Turns out, though, the fairy was coming across anyway. And when she found out she didn't have to do it, she kicked his, beat his ass and kicked him off the cliff, and he fell into the lava and burned up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I mean, he had that coming.
Yeah, he's some kind of monster.
He was like, it's for the gross sexual predator monster. Yeah, he was like all green and gross.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there's other scenes in this too where, because wasn't there a scene in like a strip club?
Yeah.
So you get some of the like, alien strippers with multiple titties.
Yeah, she had six of them. One of them had six.
Yeah.
And then there was a sex robot in there that was pretty good.
Oh, okay. The sex robot was funny.
Yeah.
That was, there was like some funny shit in there.
Yeah. Sex robot had pierced nipples.
And then, because one of
with
the...
With a face that wasn't quite human. It wasn't a human face on it. It just had a weird face on it. Yeah. It's just...
She said funny shit, too.
Yeah.
She wasn't really in it enough. That was kind of like she was being sold at a market, and then one of the guys like that was helping was going to buy it.
He bought it,
And he did buy it.
Yeah.
That's right. He did end up buying it, because then it was like in the...
Had all these different fucking options for the mouth and shit. It's funny. You just gotta see it. That's the way the original comic books were back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, I think that was the only parts.
Perverse.
That was the only parts that like reminded me
of the original.
The original one. The rest of it, it's like I said, it's not bad. It's just kind of generic.
Yeah. That's kind of the problem of it.
Yeah,
and the animation is kind of generic through a lot of it. The first heavy metal, the animation is definitely hand done, rotoscope stuff. I mean, it was painstakingly made, you know. Not this one. It seems like a faster. And it's, you can tell it's kind of the same artist in a way through the whole thing. Maybe the CGI people are different. The original, each little episode was done by a completely different team of artists. So they had their own, that's like the comic book.
Yeah.
They had their own gestalt, you know, their own vibe. So that's kind of missing from this one. But it's not terrible. It's not bad. It's watchable. It's entertaining. I liked it.
Thank you. No need for me to.
Kind of. Yeah. Wait. What's up, man?
said, ah, you promised to wait for this one for me. Oh, well. This is the ultimate shroom acid trip film for me. Well, like I said, well, we're not talking about the original one. We're talking about the 2000
one. The 2000 one, yeah.
Because we just ended up watching it just on a whim last night. Interestingly, on Rotten Tomatoes, this has only 10%.
Yeah.
Although it doesn't really have that many reviews. Now, as I said, this actually does have some decent music in it. Gotta say. Got some MDFMK in there. Got some Pantera in there. System of a Down. Queens of the Stone Age. Hate Department.
Yeah. Oscar Perez says that Billy Idol can do no wrong. Yeah, basically I agree. I mean, the Cyberpunk album wasn't all that great. It had some good songs, but I guess it was good. That was his last good album. After that, some of it started to go a little downhill. But from what I've heard of his new album, it's good. Real good. He sounds kind of like Chris Isaak now.
Yeah, that song that you played me, that new one, is actually really good. Yeah. I like it a lot.
And I've sampled some of the other songs on it. I'm going to go in there and look at it more closely. The other songs on it are like that, kind of.
And I'm excited about the Christmas album.
Christmas album, his new
Christmas album. Because I really did like the four. We listened to the four Christmas songs that he put on YouTube, and they're really good.
Yeah,
it's all like classic Christmas songs. Yeah, like Christmas Tree.
He's not putting a damn Billy Idol spin on it, or he's not going outside. It's a Christmas album.
Yeah,
with his voice, and it sounds like. I mean, he's playing it straight, almost like Billy Idol doing Sinatra,
doing like some lounge music.
Yeah, like
it's cool.
Music.
I like
real
it.
Good. Yeah,
I like that kind of shit.
Yeah, he's taking it seriously. Got a picture of him going, like that in his fucking suit.
With all the snowflakes.
With snowflakes.
I know, I love it. I like looking at it. I go, look how cute that is.
Yeah.
That's adorable. And honestly, that might be... Oh, I was going to say that's actually the only Christmas album that we own. That's a lie. I actually have a goth Christmas album.
Okay,
somewhere. I don't remember where it is, though. But I do. I do actually have a goth one. So we have two Christmas albums now. That's it.
Yeah, it's on sale on Amazon. Got it for $12.
Yeah.
Yeah. His new one's only $7.
Oh, okay.
His new rock album's only $7. Might get that too.
Yeah, we'll mean, you know, might as well.
Yeah.
Although, I haven't bought CDs in a really long time because, you know, why?
Yeah.
I can pretty much listen to whatever I want whenever. But, so like I said, this it's not bad. It's just, there's nothing special about it. And as I said, that might be just... a function of culture having changed so much and, you know, the concept of heavy metal not being unique anymore.
Right.
You know, when it came out in 1981, it was like a big cult thing because it was like, ooh, nobody had really seen anything like that before. You know, it was seemed very subversive.
Yeah.
But, you know, now that's there's so much stuff like that that I just kind of feel like, eh. So, you know, I'm not just saying that it shouldn't have been made, but... It just didn't seem all that, you know. And they were actually been talking about doing a third one. This one didn't even come out in the theaters. I think it went right to DVD.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, as far as I could determine. But like I said, I remember...
Pook, stop it.
Stop it, Pookie.
That's her books.
I remember wanting to see it when it came out, like I said, because it had a Bauhaus song on it. And I remember, but, you know, I guess I didn't really end up watching it, but... You know, because I thought I had seen it, but then we started watching it, and I'm like, yeah, none of this isn't familiar, so I must not have seen any of it.
Yeah.
Now, they were going to actually make a third one. They've been talking about doing a third one for a really long time.
Oh, they're going to butcher that.
Well, they were going to go back to the anthology thing, and they were going to have, like, Guillermo del Toro do a segment, and, like, maybe Gore Verbinski do a segment.
Yeah.
So they were talking about that, like, a few years back. I think it was, like, Robert Rodriguez was going to do some of it, or he bought the rights or something. But then, like I said, it just seemed like it never really went anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just kind of feel like the original one was good and, you know, kind of its moment. And I don't really know if it's kind of, you know...
Okay, leave it alone.
Thank you again. No need for me to.
Jesus.
My bad. That one meh. Yeah, like I said, we had fun watching it. We were just having a drink on Saturday night and, you know, and it was entertaining.
It was free.
But it was free to watch. Michael Ironside was the best thing about it because he was clearly having a blast.
Billy Idol was the best thing about it.
Well, what I was going to say too, that Billy Idol was also awesome.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that Billy Idol wasn't in it as much.
Right.
So
Billy needs to do more voice acting.
He absolutely should. But, you know, Michael Ironside was like the main villain and also kind of the main character. You know, he was on screen a lot of the time and he was clearly like having a really, really good time. being a villain, being Murder Danzig. And so, I mean, Michael Ironside's awesome. So, you know, so that was good about it. And so, and some of the songs were good. But, you know, I will say, though, that watching that, I was like, man, now I want to watch Rock and Rule again. So we should probably talk about that one tomorrow.
Okay.
Have we talked about that before?
No.
Yeah, because I was like, I fucking love Rock and Rule. And you can't even get it anywhere. It's, like, really, really hard. Like, you can watch it for free on YouTube. And that's official. They did, because I looked it up. That's not just somebody that uploaded it.
They officially allowed it?
That was the production company that made it. That's their YouTube channel.
Okay.
So they put it up because it's really hard. It's, like, out of print. I think they did, like, a special edition DVD, and then it sold out, but then it just, or it went out of print and they don't make it anymore.
Yeah, Rock and Roll Rats. Yeah. Rats that do rock and roll. That look like humans.
Yeah.
And there's a really good Deborah Harry or a Blondie song on it. Two versions of the same song.
And she actually, I mean, we should probably save this for tomorrow, but she did actually, like, do a different version of that song on one of her, like, albums that came out in the 90s or the 2000s, I think.
Yeah.
But it's not the same. She changed, like, some of the lyrics and stuff.
Yeah.
And then
watching that one, though, it fucking reminds me how different rock and music is in how it's considered in a culture. I remember how really cool it was in the 70s and the 80s. Now people are like, meh, rock bands. Meh. Because social media took all that over.
Yeah. Yeah, Pat Hatfield says Rock and Roll is great. It is.
Yeah.
I love that movie. I've seen it a million times. And Oracle said it was on Hulu a while back. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can watch it for free on YouTube. You know, but I'm going to talk about that tomorrow because I fucking love that movie. So, yeah, so we're going to cut it a little bit short today because, one, I'm really tired because we drank a lot last night.
And
I drove back and forth to Ocala because I got to see my mommy and my sister, so that was awesome.
I'm going back to the Oasis.
And he's Midnight at the
It's
Oasis.
Called the Oasis in Eustis. You can Google it. That's the biker bar I go to.
Yeah, he's gonna go. Yeah. Don't stalk him. But
there's fucking about 50 fucking bikes there right now.
Yeah, he's gonna go back to the bar.
Yeah,
and I'm just gonna lay down and watch
really
a movie.
I won't be long though. I'll be back before 9.
Yeah, don't be careful when you're out there in the dark and shit like that. Man, I had to drive back from Ocala in the dark. See, I said. I was maybe going to spend the night there because, you know, they have a guest house. My sister was staying over because she's driving back to Atlanta today. And then I said, well, I don't really want to because, you know, we had to do the show today and I miss Pookie. I didn't want Pookie to be like, where's mama? You know what I mean? Overnight. So I was like, well, I shouldn't stay. But then I was like, oh, well, I'll have to start driving back like at 4:30 or 5 because it starts getting dark. And I really, really don't like having to drive on fucking Highway 19 in the dark because there's no lights. And there's not really any cell phone reception. Honestly, I didn't get cell phone reception until I got to the end of 19, like to that gas station. So I couldn't even put my GPS on. Luckily, I remembered, you know, how to get back home, like up to that point. But then I had to turn the GPS on, like, it's because I was like, I don't remember how to get home from here, so I really got to, like, fucking figure it out. But, yeah, so I had to drive home in the dark, and that really sucked. But I made it okay, so, you know. All right, so we will be back tomorrow. And Pat said, I love Lee Reed's song, My Name is Mock. I know, I love every single song on that soundtrack. I just love it so much. But we'll talk about that tomorrow. So we're going to talk about rock and roll tomorrow. Have a good rest of your weekend, everybody. Thanks for super chats. Thanks for hanging out with us. And we will see you guys again tomorrow. Bye.